Jump into our thought tonight. The Bible says this, beginning in verse number 4, "And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." I like that "there." Amen. It was a place where God wanted Elijah to be. And then we find it again in verse number 9. The Bible says this, "Arise, get thee the Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." Let's pray this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to open your precious word tonight. And Lord, we pray that you give us liberty and unction from on high, and that you'd help folks in the way that you see fit. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory, for it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen. This evening, I've already told you that I'm interested in the word "there." If you read 1 Kings chapter 17, you'll find that the word "there" is used 9 or 10 times. I don't remember right now. I use several times here in this chapter. Several of those times you'll find that the word "there" is used in a general sense. I give you an example of that. We find it used in verse number 10, I believe. You'll find the Bible says, "So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink." There in verse number 10, we find this used in a general sense to describe what's going on. And you'll find that it's used several other times like that in this same chapter. But that's not what I'm interested in this evening. I'm interested in how the Lord used it in verse number 4 and in verse number 9. The Lord was speaking to Elijah, and he was telling Elijah that he needed to be there.
Yep.
Not here, but there.
Right.
Not over yonder, but there. Listen to me, friends, and listen well. There is very important in the Christian's walk with the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord wants you to be there. You say, "Preacher, where is there?" I can't answer that for you.
Right.
I can only answer it for me. But I know this, wherever there is, you better make sure you're there.
Amen.
Suppose that Elijah would have been anywhere else but there. What would have happened in the life of Elijah? This word, a couple things to note about this word "there" before we get down into the message tonight. This word "there" indicates a place that God wanted Elijah to be at. And I got to thinking about that. The Lord wanted Elijah to be there. And I believe that is illustrates the sovereignty of God. The way that God can know exactly where you and I need to be at. But not only does it illustrate the sovereignty of God, but Elijah, and this is where I think we probably fell at most in the days that we're living in, Elijah wanted to be there wherever there was. Amen.
Right.
You'll find that Elijah was a Tishbite. You'll find that Elijah went and told King Ahab, he said, "Hey, it's not going to rain." And then the Lord told him to go there. The first "there" was the brook Cherith. The second "there" was the widow woman's home. But you don't find Elijah bickering with the Lord or arguing with the Lord. You find that Elijah got up and he went there.
Right. Amen.
You say, "Preacher, what does that illustrate?" It illustrates the submissiveness of Elijah.
Right.
If we're missing anything in the days that we're living in, it's the people of God submitting themselves to the Lord.
Right.
Listen, friends, I ain't trying to be ugly. I really want to be uplifting, but I've got to say it while I'm here. Y'all just have to boot me if you want to. That Bible, while I believe it is a love letter from the Lord, it's a rule book as well. There's a whole lot of things that Bible says that we ought not to partake in and that we ought not to do. And yet we see the church in the days that we're living in doing all them things and wonder why we don't have the power of God in
right. Amen.
It's because we ain't there.
Right.
Because we won't submit ourselves to the Lord.
That's good, preacher.
You ain't much use to the Lord if you won't submit to Him.
Right.
With the Lord's help, I want to preach on the thought tonight, and I don't know if I'll get it all done, but I want to preach on the thought tonight that there's no place like there. Y'all heard that saying before, there's no place like home?
Sure.
I'd much rather be there than be home.
Amen.
Wherever there is that the Lord has for me, I'd much rather be there than be anywhere else in the whole wide world. We find several things about there here in 1 Kings chapter number 17. Number one tonight, we find that there is a dwelling. There is a dwelling. We find that all throughout the text tonight. We'll try and give you a few thoughts on this dwelling that the people of God ought to be doing. There's a place here in our text that Elijah was to get to, and he was to dwell there. Elijah was to dwell at the brook Cherith, and Elijah was to dwell at the widow woman's home. Friends, that is somewhere that Elijah was told to be. And if there's ever been a time, it is today. If there's ever been a time when we need the people of God to decide that they are going to dwell wherever the Lord would have them to be, it's the days that we're living in. And look, I really am. I had all intentions on being uplifting tonight, but I've been in this thing long enough to know that, Lord help us, amen. I've been in this thing long enough to know that the people of God, somebody ruffles their feathers a little bit and they say, I ain't being here no more. I'm going on down the road somewhere else. You say, preacher, that never happened to me. You better watch out. Listen to me, down East Baptist Church. You want to be a great church. You want to have a great ministry. You want to see the power of God fall on this place. You better make your mind up tonight. You're going to be there. Amen.
Amen. Right.
You're going to be there just as much as you can possibly be. Several things we could say tonight about the fact that there is a dwelling. Number one, we can notice that it's a place. I believe with everything that's within me that God has a place and a purpose and a plan for everybody that's been washed in the blood. I don't believe, not in every bit, that God's ever saved a soul to sit on a pew and do absolutely nothing. Lord,
amen.
Help us in the days we live in. You can't even hardly get them to sit on the pew. Amen. I got to thinking about four places that the child of God ought to dwell at. Number one, I got to thinking about that this place where Elijah was a physical place. And listen to me, friends. The Lord has a physical place for you, and He has a physical place for me. Right now, my physical place is at 1450 North Halton Street, Williamston, North Carolina. And y'all's physical place is 5139. Well, I'm proud of myself. I still remember that ticket. 5139 Webb Lake Road. Y'all just don't ask me the zip code because I don't know it. Amen. Look, this is what I'm getting at. It is a physical place. I believe with all my heart, and I know y'all the faithful crowd, but I believe with all my heart that the Lord would have us to meet in a physical place.
Sure. Amen.
Days we're living in, everybody wants to say, you know, I know y'all heard this mess. I can worship the Lord on the water. I can worship the Lord in the woods. And you can. You can. There ain't nothing wrong with that. But the Lord has a physical place He wants you to be in.
Right. Amen.
Lord, help us to be in our physical place.
Right.
But I thought not only is a place, not only is it a physical place, but it's a spiritual place.
Yeah.
The Lord don't want you just to be somewhere physically. He wants you to be there spiritually as well. I've had a whole lot of folks over the years that's been there physically, but they ain't been there spiritually.
Amen.
They ain't anywhere else
sure.
But right there. They anywhere else other than where the Lord would have them to be at. I began to think about how the Lord, let me give you this verse, amen. If I could find it in my notes, amen. Listen to what the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse number 6. It says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Right. Listen, friends, not only should we walk with the Lord in a physical walk, but we ought to have a spiritual walk with Him as well.
Amen.
We ought to be spiritual people in the days that we're living in. You say, preacher, how do I know if I'm a spiritual person? Listen to what your Bible says in Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 22 and verse number 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. It didn't say the fruit of the Spirit is gossiping.
Right.
It didn't say the fruit of the Spirit is backbiting.
Come on, preacher.
It didn't say the fruit of the Spirit is discord.
Yep.
Or lust or envy or covetousness.
Right.
But it said it's love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Listen, friends, God is telling us about something that we can't do ourselves.
Amen.
It must be done through the Spirit of God.
That's right. Good preaching, Philip.
And we're missing it in the days that we're living in. Not only is it a spiritual place, but it's a mental place. Boy, the child of God ought to be right in the mental place. Listen to what your Bible says, Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Mm-hmm. Preacher, what's wrong with the church? Well, one thing wrong with the church is our minds thinking about everything else.
Yeah.
But the things of God. Not only is it a mental place, but I believe it's an emotional place. The Lord would have us to be in the right place emotionally.
Yeah.
Listen to what your Bible says, Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice.
Yeah.
I often wonder why lost folks don't want what we have.
Yeah.
And might it be because we don't even act like we want what we got.
Amen. That's good, Phil.
Not only is it a place, I'm talking about there's no place like there. And Elijah found that it was a place that God would have him to be at. Not only is it a place, though, but we see it is a place of protection. Look with me in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 3. The Bible says this, get thee hence and turn thee eastward. And watch what your Bible says now. And hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. If you know your Bibles, you know that in verse number 1 of 1 Kings chapter 17, Elijah just kind of bust on the scene. We don't really know anything about him. He just kind of comes out of nowhere. And we see that Elijah goes and he has a little talk, if you will, with King Ahab. And he tells King Ahab that it's not going to rain in the land for several years. And can you imagine, friends, that King Ahab was upset with that news? Can you imagine, friends, that King Ahab, after he got thinking about that thing for a while, I can see it in my mind. Sometimes I visualize stuff. I can see him sitting on this throne. I can see him say, who does he think that he is?
Yeah.
I say that about some folks too.
Sure.
But I imagine that he was fairly upset with old Elijah.
Yeah.
Elijah leaves, and I imagine that King Ahab was sitting there, and the more he pondered on it, the madder he got.
Yeah.
And the more he wanted to take Elijah's life.
Yep.
And the Lord said there in verse number 3, he said, Elijah, I want you to go down yonder, and I want you to hide yourself at the brook Cherith.
Right.
Listen to me, friends, and listen.
and well. Wherever there he is, danger may be all around.
Sure.
Wherever there he is, it may be unsafe in the eyes of others. But in the eyes of the Lord, it's a place of protection.
Right.
You'll
Amen.
Never find a safer place than in the center of wherever there he is in your life.
Yeah. Amen.
I really believe that a lot of folks, man, they just don't go, and they just don't do, because they listen to the lies of the devil, and they say that place ain't a safe place.
Right.
It's always safe inside the will of God.
Amen. That's right.
Always safe inside the will of God. You say, preacher, you mean that danger won't come? That ain't what I said.
Come on.
I said it's always safe.
Yeah.
I like hearing about preachers yesteryear, and I heard this story. I believe it was by D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody was a famous preacher that preached there in Chicago, and really a tremendous man, tremendous servant of the Lord. And D.L. Moody, it is said that he was out on the streets of Chicago one night. I can't remember what he was doing, but some fellas come up to him, and they were going to try and mug him and try to hold him up. I believe it was with a gun, and I think the story goes that D.L. Moody looked back at them. He said, "What, y'all going to try and scare me with heaven?" They got so confused they just run off and left them alone. D.L. Moody knew something that the church needs to learn again.
Yeah.
That, friends, it's always safe inside the will of God.
Amen.
D.L. Moody knew that when he left this world, he was bound to somewhere better.
Amen.
I'm trying not to veer off, but we sure don't live like heaven's real no more.
Come on, Phil. Amen, preacher.
Not only is it a place of protection, but it's a place of provision. A place of provision. Well, we don't go sometimes to there because we don't think that we'll have enough when we get there. But we find something completely different in the life of Elisha.
Yep.
It's a place of provision. You'll find if you study out this chapter that Elijah was provided for when he was where the Lord wanted him to be. And friends, we can rest in the fact that God will provide for us when we're where we're supposed to be. You'll find that God used a brook. You'll find that God used a raven, which was an unclean animal at the time. It's an amazing thing. Boy, that tells you something right there. Amen. The Lord used an unclean animal to feed Elijah.
Amen.
You say, preacher, why is that such a big deal? Because sometimes God provides in a way we might not necessarily like.
Right.
Amen.
Or we might not necessarily expect.
Right.
But not only did God provide for Elijah with a raven, and when the brook dried up, he said, "Hey, Elijah, I want you to go down yonder to a widow woman's home." If that was your average Baptist, man, we'd be arguing with them.
Right.
Send them down to the widow woman's home. And yet he was still provided for.
Amen.
Don't you let fear of provision hold you up from doing what God has called you to do.
Yeah. Amen.
Listen to what your Bible says. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 31, down through a little ways. The Bible says, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But seek you first the kingdom of God."
Amen.
"And his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you."
Mm-hmm.
Ain't a whole lot of folks seeking the kingdom of God first these days.
Sure.
They,
that's good preaching.
It's a preposterous place. The Lord used some unlikely characters to provide for Elijah. It's a purposeful place. The Lord had a purpose for Elijah being where he sent him. I got thinking about this, and maybe y'all's mind don't work like this, and I'll get into some more of this in just a little bit. I got thinking about that widow woman. I got thinking that as much as she was a help to Elijah, he was a help to her.
Yeah.
Look at what your Bible says here in verse number 9. Look at what your Bible says. "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I
I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. You see, friends, Elijah was looking for her, but she was looking for Elijah.
Right.
Elijah
Amen.
Helped her, but she helped Elijah.
Right.
Hey, they both needed each other. You say, preacher, what do you mean about the There's no place like there. When we get there, wherever there is, this is what you'll find. You'll find that you're there to help people,
right.
And they're there to help you.
Amen.
We
That's
ought
right.
to be co-laborers
That's
in
right,
this
sir.
Thing together. We ought to help each other.
Right.
Hey, how about this?
Good preaching,
she wouldn't have survived without him,
right.
And he wouldn't have survived without
Amen.
Her.
That's
they
right.
needed each other, and God knew that.
That's good preaching, Phil.
It's a purposeful place. Preacher, I don't know why the Lord wants me there. It's to help somebody.
Yeah.
And somebody to help you.
Oh, yes.
I think sometimes in ministry, if we're not careful, we can get caught up in the thinking we're just helping everybody, when in reality, they're helping us too.
Oh, yes.
I could tell you story after story of how the people of God have helped me.
Yeah.
As I was trying to help them. It's a purposeful place. The Lord won't send you nowhere without a purpose. We find not only is it a purposeful place, but we find that it ought to be a place of patience. I don't like that word. How about y'all? A place of patience. Look with me, chapter 18. Look at what your Bible says. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. 3 years Elijah has been there. Wherever there was, it was at the brook first, and then it was at the widow woman's home. We were preaching on this there at the church. I love the life of Elijah, and we were going through it. I spent maybe a couple of months on it, and matter of fact, that's how this message come about. I was preaching one night, and I got hung up on that word there, had myself a time, but y'all don't need to know all that, but we were preaching through it, and I made the statement that I believe 1 Kings chapter 17. I believe that it was the college or university of Elijah.
Right.
You'll see that God is teaching him something, and you'll see that it takes 3 years for God to do what God needed to do with Elijah.
Yeah.
But you'll see those 3 years that Elijah just stayed there.
Yeah. Amen.
No arguing with God. No saying, God, I think I need to be somewhere else. He just got there and stayed there.
Yeah. Amen.
How about Psalms 46, verse 10? Be still. I don't like it. Be still and know that I'm God. Sometimes in our Christian walk, we just got to be still.
Yeah. Amen.
Boy, we get in a mess, don't we? When we try and get ahead of the Lord. Oh, Lord, help us just every once in a while. Just be still. Number one, we find that there is a dwelling. If you find you're there, you just stay there.
Yeah.
Wherever it is, you just stay there.
That's good.
When it's going good, you stay there.
Yeah.
When it's going bad, stay there. When it's great, stay there. When everybody else leaves, if God ain't told you to leave, just stay there.
Right.
Just hunker down and stay there.
That's good, Phil.
There is a decision. There didn't do Elijah no good unless he decided to go and be there.
Yeah.
He had to decide that. Several things we can make mention of tonight about Elijah and the fact that there is a decision. Number one, we could say that there is a personal decision. Couldn't nobody decide for Elijah? He had to decide for himself. You got to decide if you want to live with Jesus.
Right.
You got to decide. Lord help us. I'm telling you. I'm going to be uplifting tonight, and it just ain't working out that way. But Hey, listen, it's only you that can make your mind up that you're going to do something down at the church.
Yep.
Oh, Lord, help. I don't know how it is around here, but I've been in enough churches to know, and I hope y'all mind sitting on your altar here, but I've been in enough churches to know that folks have come in, and they'll be sitting there, and they'll say, oh, so-and-so ought to do so-and-so, and oh, so-and-so ought to do so-and-so.
Right.
Hey, listen to me, friends. Has it ever occurred to you that you ought to be doing so-and-so?
Amen. That's good.
Yeah. I know I'm Melly.
Go ahead, preacher.
I know it.
You're running well.
Most of you know me. Y'all know I meddle a whole lot.
It's all right. Preach on.
Much goes undone in the work of the Lord. Because much goes undone.
Yep.
Because folks won't make their minds up that they will personally do it themselves.
Right.
We'll sit around waiting for somebody else to do it.
Yep.
Has it ever occurred to you that maybe God is showing you, because you're the one that's supposed to go there and do it?
That's good.
Couldn't nobody decide for Elijah. He had to decide for himself. Not only could we say tonight that's a personal decision, but we could also make the statement tonight that it was a persistent decision. If you're going to be there, you're going to have to be persistent about being there.
Yeah.
We find that in the fact that Elijah started off at the brook and the brook dried up. If Elijah was your ordinary, everyday, independent Baptist, he'd have said, that's it, Lord, it's dried up, I'm done, I'm throwing in the towel. But lo and behold, the Lord had another there.
Right.
What I'm trying to get across to you this evening is when it dries up, it might be because the Lord send you somewhere else.
Right.
You say, preacher, what do? You just be persistent. You just say, I want to be there no matter
what. Amen.
We find it's a profitable decision. I believe Elijah would testify tonight that being there sure was profitable for him.
Oh, yes.
And if you'll get there, wherever there is, it'll be profitable for you.
Sure.
There is a decision. Talk about there's no place like there.
Yeah.
Then number three, and I'll be done tonight. There has a direction.
Yeah.
It has a direction. The Lord had a direction when sending Elijah to the brook and to the widow's home. God was preparing. Boy, I'm about to have a fit. God was preparing Elijah for chapter 18.
Yeah.
Where Elijah will make a stand against King Ahab and the idolatrous people of that day.
Right.
But here's the thing. You don't get there to chapter 18 unless you've been there to chapter 17.
Right. Amen.
You don't get to stand before the king and take that glorious stand unless you go through the schooling that God saw fit for you to go through. Listen to me, friends. I got to thinking about this today, looking over my notes, and I got to thinking about the fact that God was the only one that could see chapter 18.
Amen.
God was the only
one
that could see Elijah stand before King Ahab. Elijah couldn't see it.
Right.
He didn't know what was going on. I think sometimes we take that for granted.
Right.
That we can just flip the page and we're in the next chapter.
Yeah.
But 3 years of Elijah's life has been spent there just waiting for God to do whatever it is that God was going to do.
Right.
Elijah couldn't see it. Ahab couldn't see it.
Right.
Jezebel couldn't see it. The prophets of Baal couldn't see it.
Right.
Obadiah couldn't see it. Nobody saw chapter 18 but God.
Amen. That's right.
But he knew that Elijah had to be there in chapter 17 before he made it to there in chapter 18.
Yeah.
You may not like what you're going through right here, right now in your there. But God sees something you can't see.
Amen.
God is outside of time and space. He doesn't look at things like we look at things.
Right.
I can't comprehend it, but that's what the Bible teaches.
Yep.
It tells us that he's the same yesterday, today, forever.
Amen.
It tells us that he's all-knowing. God looks at yesterday the same as he looks at today.
Right.
And God looks at tomorrow the same as he looks at
there because of what's down there.
Amen. That's right.
I don't always like it right there. But God knows what I'm going to need when I make it over there.
Right. Amen. That's good preaching.
But if we get mad with the Lord there, we ain't going to be ready for what's over there.
That's right.
I'm telling you, friends, the longer I'm in it, the more I realize there's no place like there.
Yeah.
Wherever there is for your life.
Yeah.
Several things we could say tonight about the fact that there has a direction. We find, number one, that the direction was the private place. The private place. I love this so much. Verse 3 through verse number 7, you'll find that Elijah is at the brook Cherith, and you'll find that the Lord provides for Elijah through a raven, and the Lord provides for Elijah through the brook Cherith there, and he does so till it dries up. But I believe the important thing that God wanted to give Elijah, the plan, the purpose, the program, if you will, that God had for Elijah there in the brook Cherith, is that he wanted to prepare him in the private place.
Right.
There won't nobody there but Elijah and the Lord.
Right.
Ahab wasn't there. Elijah's buddies wasn't there. The only visitation that he had was a raven that come around. I believe it was twice a day, but that's all he had. You say, oh Lord, he didn't have a TV to turn on. He didn't have a phone to pull out of his pocket. Man, them things is ruining us, ain't they? He didn't have a phone to pull out of his pocket. All he had was a quiet place with the Lord.
Amen.
You know what Elijah was learning? He was learning the power of a prayer life.
Yeah.
Preacher, how you know? Well, because in chapter 18, he prayed fire down from heaven.
That's right.
Amen.
Maybe y'all's mind don't work like this. But suppose he hadn't spent time in the private place. Mm. Do you think he'd have been able to ring the bells of glory in chapter 18? Not only is it a private place, but it's the perspective changing place. We're talking about there. There's no place like there. I believe that we could say tonight the perspective of Elijah was changed while he was there.
Yeah.
Preacher, what do you mean? I've already hit on it tonight, but the Lord used some unlikely characters to provide for Elijah.
Yeah.
He used a raven and he used a widow woman. You go down, you read tonight, I give you homework assignment, amen. You go home tonight, you read verse number 8 through verse number 16, you'll find that Elijah is at the widow woman's home, and when he first meets her, he says, hey, how about you make me something to eat? And she looks back and says, look, all I got, I know this paraphrase, but she looks back and says, all I got is enough to make one more meal, and we are going to die.
Yep.
And yet, that barrel ain't never run out.
Amen.
Well, how about that? I have an old Bible, and I don't preach out of it anymore because it's just so ugly, so wore out. And that, and I'm a Bibleaholic. I get new ones all the time.
Yeah.
But taking donations off to it. But got an old Bible. And there in that old Bible, I got wrote to the side, 1 Kings chapter 17. They won't eat steak every day. They sure didn't run out of what they needed.
Right.
I think sometimes as the people of God, and this is completely for free, ain't got nothing to do with message. But I think sometimes as the people of God, we sure are bad about mixing up wants and needs.
Yeah.
That's right.
I can look back and see that every need I've ever had has been met.
Amen.
I ain't had every want I've ever had.
Right.
But I sure have had every need that I've had.
Amen.
This is what I'm getting at, though. Say, preacher, what did Elijah learn there at the widow woman's home? He learned that little is much when God is in it.
Oh, yes.
Preacher, why would that lesson be important? Why is there such an important place? Because Elijah learned that God could take Ahab, before Jezebel, before the prophets of Baal, and you'll see him able to stand. You say, preacher, how was he able to stand? I can't help but thinking he looked back in his mind's eye and he said, the God that provided for me in the widow woman's home is the same God that's going to help me fight this battle that
Amen.
I'm fighting today.
That's right. Amen.
But he wouldn't have known it if he had not gone there.
That's good preaching. Amen.
It's the perspective changing place. It's a powerful place. Verse 17 through verse number 24, you'll find that the same widow woman's son dies. And she essentially curses Elijah. And Elijah says, give me that youngin. Paraphrase, you know, redneck, if you will. He says, give me that youngin. He takes that youngin up, lays him there in the bed, prays over him. And the life comes back to that youngin. You say, preach, you believe that with everything that's in me.
Yeah.
I believe that. You know what the Lord was showing Elijah? That he could do the impossible.
Yep.
But the only way that Elijah learned that is because he was there.
Amen.
If he'd have been anywhere else in the whole wide world other than there, exactly where the Lord wanted him to be, he wouldn't have learned that God could do the impossible. Preacher, why did Elijah need that? Because in chapter 18, he was going to stand and see the impossible done again. Preacher, what are you saying, Mike? Well, there's no place like there. I believe every one of us here tonight has a there that we ought to be at. Your there's here. Or your there might be somewhere else. Your there could be a physical place. It could be a spiritual place. Don't just show up physically. Show up spiritually.
Yeah.
Show up mentally.
Amen.
Show up. I got folks. I look at some folks sometimes. I wonder why. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad they're there. But I look, why are you here?
Yeah.
Because you ain't here.
Yeah.
I've seen you fiddling with your phone the whole time. I've seen folks doing their nails. You start cleaning up the church. You know what you'll find? You'll find fingernails on the floor and the trash on the floor. I'm like, Lord, have mercy. What? Do that junk at the house. But when you get to the Lord's house, and show up and be there. Be right. Present, amen. Amen. Not just physically, but spiritually and mentally. Hey, listen, friends. There's no place like there.
Amen.
There is truly no better place for the child of God to be than the place that God has ordained for your life.
That's good preaching. That's good preaching.
But here's the thing about it I want you to understand. There is only good for you if you're there.
Yep.
If Elijah would have been anywhere else, he'd have missed out on the lessons that God wanted to teach him there. I got a few questions. I'm done. Number one, where is your there at? Preacher, I don't know. I don't know where my there's at. Boy, it'd be a good night together on this old-fashioned altar. Say, God, would you show me where my there is in my life? I cannot explain what it's like for the still small voice of God to lay out his plan for you. But if you don't know his plan for you, you come ask him tonight. And friends, I believe with all my heart he'll give it to you.
Yeah.
Book of James tells us that he giveth wisdom liberally.
Yeah.
He upbraideth mom.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're here tonight, you say, preacher, I know where my there is. Good. Got another question. Are you there? Yeah, you might know it. But does that mean that you're there? Are you there in your physical place? God has something that he wants you to do. Whether it be, whether it be preaching, missionary, a soul winner, teacher, whatever. Man, the Lord has a physical thing that he wants you to do.
Yeah, sure.
the toilet,
yeah.
cutting the grass, scrubbing the floor,
yeah.
standing behind a vacuum. By the way, that's still one of my favorite things to do for Jesus, is vacuum the carpet in the church. I ain't driving that car. It's something about a quiet place. Listen now, don't y'all get in trouble. The Lord has something He physically wants you to do
yeah.
for Him. Be there spiritually. Not just here. But when you walk out there. Are you as spiritual out there as you are in here? Do you have a foul mouth out there?
Come on, preacher.
But you're cleaning it up when you walk into the church?
Come on, preacher.
Folks all the time, they slip up and say a word. I really don't care. It ain't me they got to take it up with.
Right.
But when you're slipping up, it means you're using them a whole lot out there.
Right.
I know I'm meddling.
Go ahead, preacher.
Are you there in your Bible? Or is the only Bible you get when you walk into the doors of the church? Preacher, I just ain't growing. Pick up the Bible and read it.
Yep.
Preacher, I get confused. Read it again.
Yep. Amen.
Are you there in your prayer closet? Are you, I mean, we could preach this all night. Y'all give up and leave me before I got done, really. Are you there in your witness? Are you there in your testimony? We could just go on and on and on and on and on. Are you there? Wherever you're there is. If not, tonight would be a good night to come get on this old-fashioned altar and surrender to the Lord. I just want to be there. I just want to be there. Whatever your there is in your life, we can learn from Elijah that we better get there and dwell there.
Amen.
We better learn to decide to be there. I ain't even getting into all this. But friends, oftentimes folks believe, boy, I'll just stay right there. We ought to rest in the fact that there has a direction, it has a purpose, God has a plan.
Yeah.
Preacher, I do not like my there right now. Just hang on.
Yeah.
God has a plan.
Amen.
Hey.
Maybe you're here tonight and you've not been to the most important there. Say, preacher, where's the most important there? Mm-hmm. To the cross.
Yeah.
You can't be nowhere else until you start right there. If you're here tonight and you're lost and undone, it'd be a good night to meet Jesus at the cross of Calvary and get born again. So we all stand this evening, heads bowed, eyes closed. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your